presentation, evaluation of turfgrass crown membrane health in response to ice stress and management practices of Poa annua putting green species. Kevin Laskowski, Emily Merowitz, and Kevin Frank, Michigan State University.
Thank you for the intro, Dr. Wheeler. So, nice presentation to go after our desiccation in winter is some crown membrane health under ice stress conditions. So, in Michigan, as we saw a little bit ago, we are pretty commonly used to ice encasement type conditions where we have lots of snow that melts down due to the sun in the winter time, and then the temperatures are low enough to where that melt will freeze again and form either porous type ice sheets that will allow for some types of gas exchange, or these impermeable ice sheets which will entrap our gases underneath the ice and could be detrimental to our turfgrass species. One of these characteristics from these impermeable ice sheets are an oxygen depletion, and it also entraps different types of toxic gases such as ethyl butyrate, which has been shown in wheat crowns, ethanol, as well as butyrate, which are detrimental to live cells. So in order for turfgrass to survive this ice cover and even these winter type conditions, they need to go through an acclimation process. Through this process, they need to alter their growth habits by reducing the amount of top growth and storing their carbohydrates into the crown tissue. Through different management practices that are commonly used on golf course putting greens, plant growth and regulators are commonly used, one of which inhibit GA activity. GA active gibberellic acid is known to increase cell elongation. So by inhibiting this, we are also inhibiting the amount of top growth we see with our turfgrass plants. Now, there is different types of classes of PGRs, such as a class A, which is a trinexpec ethyl. Class A is also a late GA biosynthesis inhibitor. Our class B type inhibitors, which propiaconazole is thought to be one, these ones inhibit early GA biosynthesis, and then our class C, which a mefluidide is known to be a mitosis inhibitor. So now also other aspects to maintaining acclimation is a shift in these fatty acid profiles of the crown tissue itself within the plant cell membranes. Now what this includes is shifting in combination from a saturated fatty acid composition of the membrane to a more unsaturated fatty acid. So what that means is that the plant will go from a more rigid state with the saturated fatty acids to a more fluid state under the unsaturated fatty type acids. So our hypothesis for this particular study was that plant growth regulators and other chemical treatments can alter turf growth habits as well as have an effect on crown membranes under winter stress conditions. Some objectives we had with this were to evaluate turfgrass regrowth after winter conditions, so ice cover and no ice cover, as well as evaluate how lipid profiles change over time and how these fatty acids also change during this time under ice cover and non-ice covered. Some of the materials and methods we used different types of chemicals. Civitas 1 was a type of mineral oil that is in combination with a harmonizer. Mefluidide, a propiaconazole, trinexpec ethyl, and an untreated chemical spray. All these were applied with a CO2 backpack sprayer at normal rates that are recommended by these labels. Applications in 2014 began in late July, so July 31st, and continued through October 9th for being applied every 2 weeks. After field plots were applied, these are pictures of our field plots that we had here on a creeping bentgrass stand. You can kind of see the differences between our treatments here. Once they were acclimated, the materials, we took a 4-inch cup cutter and took turf grass plugs from these plots, which were then potted and then transferred to a low-temperature growth chamber in mid-November. The growth chamber settings were at minus 4 degrees Celsius with a 10-hour light and 14-hour dark period to kind of simulate a Michigan-type winter. After sampling from the turf and going into the growth chamber, sampling occurred after 20, 40, 60, and 100 days. After each of those days, the samples were taken out of their growth chamber, and then the plugs were split in half to where one half went towards a regrowth assay, and then our other half went towards our fatty acid analysis of our crown membrane material. The regrowth assay included a 21-day recovery period, and 4 replicates were used. Some of the measurements that we accomplished through this time were fatty acid ratios, which we did through a gas chromatography mass spectroscopy. We also did a percent regrowth as well as field plot ratings in spring recovery. Now we'll move on to some of our results. I have a couple pictures of what these plots looked like in and out of our growth chamber. So we're looking at primarily annual bluegrass after 20 days. This is our percent survival we have. So you'll notice that our Civitas 1 treated plots had the most regrowth compared to our Trinex PEC ethylene untreated plots. But it wasn't very much different than our mefluidide and propiaconazole. So these three treatments you'll see as a trend are continuously having the best percent survival under ice type conditions. But you also notice that our TE treated plots were no different than our untreated control, if not worse. So now looking at some of our fatty acid profiles of these plots, we'll focus right now. So I'll kind of set you up with what we have here. We have our mole percentages. So based on what fatty acids we found, we can categorize them into percentages. With our nomenclature, we have our saturated fatty acids, which are 16 and 0, so 16 representing the number of carbons in the fatty acid chain. And then the next number will be the 0, which is how many double bonds are there. So you'll get double bonds with our unsaturated fatty acids. So after 20 days, we noticed that our three chemical treatments had much higher unsaturated fatty acid contents when compared with our TE and untreated control in our unsaturated fatty acids, meaning that our membranes could possibly be have higher degrees of fluidity. Another characteristic that we saw was that our saturated fatty acids had much lower contents compared to our TE and untreated plots, which shows that we have less saturated fatty acids in our three primary treatments. So a couple pictures of our regrowth after 20 days of ice cover. We show that our Civitas 1 has much more regrowth than our untreated, our mefluidide and propiaconazole here, as well as our TE and untreated plot. So after 40 days, we see that our percent survival is relatively the same in annual bluegrass here. And again, we saw our Trinexapec ethyl and untreated were virtually no different under no ice conditions from each other, but our mefluidide propiaconazole and Civitas 1 had much more regrowth under our no ice conditions. So after 40 days of ice cover, we looked at our annual bluegrass profiles again, and one of the key things we found yet again was that our higher unsaturated fatty acid contents were in our Civitas 1, mefluidide, and propiaconazole treatments. And then, yet again, we saw that our Trinexapec ethyl and untreated plots had much lower unsaturated fatty acid contents. Saturated fatty acids, we saw the same thing, where we had lower percentages than our TE and untreated. So after 60 days, we see that our TE and untreated, again, had very low percent survivability. But then we see that our Civitas 1 and propiaconazole still had adequate turf survival. But then we did see, compared from our 40 to 60 days, that we have our methfluidide treatment was much lower in survivability. So when we looked at our fatty acids from this again, we see that our unsaturated fatty acid contents was still higher than our TE and untreated plots, but we do notice that we had a decrease in our methfluidide treatment values here. And then back to our saturated fatty acids, we had more saturated fatty acids in our methfluidide than we did at 40 days, but still less than our TE and untreated plots. Some conclusions we can from this just 1 year of data is that our Civitas 1 allowed for our greatest regrowth, which was followed by our propiconazole and methfluidide. Our TE treated plots were not significantly different than our untreated controls, and then our unsaturated fatty acid contents were greater when they were treated with methfluidide, propiconazole, or our Civitas 1. Some further research we would like to do or continue with is to continue evaluating these type of plant growth regulators and then look at their gas accumulation under anoxic type conditions, and also look at our oxygen and CO2 contents under this ice encasement type area, and then as well as looking at where our carbohydrates actually are. Do they actually accumulate in the crown? Are there more carbohydrates in the crown material after this acclimation period? Some acknowledgments I'd like to make is for project funding through the USGA and Project Green. Thank Dr. Emily Merowitz and Dr. Kevin Frank for allowing me to work on this project. And with that, I'd like to take any questions. Go green, go white. Yes. So the question was our sample washed prior to fatty acid? And actually, yes, the samples were rinsed away from any other chemical residues. Now the question was, did we consider using paclobutrazol? I think it was thought of to use paclobutrazol, but since I believe Banner Max is more commonly used, at least in our region, we decided to go with that one because we do see its plant growth regulation effects as well as a phytotoxicity level. So we kind of went with the Banner Max that way.
Time for more questions if there are any.
Yes.
Would you speculate that other members of the GMI chemistry would act similarly to propiconazole?
So the question was, would I suspect other DMIs would act similar to the propiconazole? And at this point, I would think they would. I don't know that for sure, obviously, but because of their types of growth habits or growth regulations that are involved with them, I think that it could have similar effects.
All right, let's thank our speaker.